a topic I've been thinking about. Different nakudas about it. Lately, so I was looking for an excuse to talk about it. So this week's parsha is a good excuse to talk about it. So we'll use this week's parsha. So it's not about the parsha, but what I want to say. The parsha is just the hechadimsa. So you'll see that the connection to the parsha is fairly weak. That's not the point. One of the nakudas which both the Baron and I felt very strongly about when we started working on developing the yeshiva's collection of svarim, and you've heard from us at different times that when we first came here, the collection of svarim was much smaller than it is now. And what was included in the collection of svarim was also a little bit more different than what it is now. Baron actually had to take some of the things which are there, happened to be in Hebrew, but they had nothing to do with, they weren't Kurdish. And he one time put some of them into the garbage, which is where they belonged. And of course, one of the secular teachers came along, a few days later, Rabbi saved your books, and she brought them back. So Baron made sure the next time to drop them into the, not into the garbage, but into the dumpster, that they wouldn't come back the next time. So, I mean, there was swarm also, but it was it was interesting. So when we started working on increasing the collection of the English swarm, so one thing which we felt very strongly about, both of us, was the idea of biographies. In fact, most of the biographies which we bought Bedafka 2, and eventually we had problems with space, so we had this great idea that we'll move some of them to the house, so the Bochum and the first year Bochum were able to take advantage of them, and hopefully some of them did. So the biographies come in two groups. There's the biographies about the Gedolim, which for both of us, we felt that a lot of our, Baruch Hashem, we see, even when sitting in yeshiva with Gedolim, etc., but you read about the different Gedolim and you see different ideas and different their vision and their breakkeit and their shifa. It helps to give a person a shifa and to grow. I Maimer Hamusker, there's Rufutner writes in one place that he writes that he has a concern about some of the biographies which are written. They don't really share the challenges that these people who were Gedolim, they also had challenges. You don't hear about the Chofetz Chaim's fight with himself, not the speak Lashon Hara. We just hear that he was 6 years old, he was already the Tzaddik Yisrael Olam, and he never said the word Lashon Hara again for the rest of his life. So that's not really true, probably. And even if it was, it came with tremendous effort. We don't know about the ups and the downs, the frustrations, etc. That being said, I had somebody came over to me recently, a member of the community, with sort of grappling with this question, why don't they do that? So I said, I hear the point exactly, but I'm not the person who's going to take upon myself the responsibility of telling the Lashon Hara about the Gadol in my book. So you have to find the balance. But the second sug of biographies are about that together with the Gedolim, there were people who built Klal Yisrael without having the title of Gadol. There's a famous story that there was a sefer in Yerushalayim. I say recently. Recently means within the last 20 years. And mine was Sagam. A lot of the Hasidus got together for certain things. So while they were waiting for the meeting to start, so they start talking about the change in Klal Yisrael and how much this one said how much his Zayda and his father did to change Klal Yisrael. This one said how much his Zayda and his father did to change Klal Yisrael. And everybody's going around saying this Rebbe and that Rebbe. Some person says says I'm going to say a name who I feel made the biggest change in Klal Yisrael, and you're all going to agree with me. When I say the name, this is not Shai. My Zeta was the one who did the biggest, pulis, etc., etc. Finally, I said, okay, so who is it? He said, Sir Schneer. Because without the women, there'd be nothing. And they said, you're right. So, she wasn't, as far as I know, she did not have a title of a rabbi. As far as I know, she didn't have a title of a gadol. As far as I know, she hadn't finished Shas by the time she was 7 years old. I don't know whether she knew Tanakh Bal Peh or not either. There was a person who cared about something and did something about it. You have a genre of biographies about that. You have the they called it Mike, about Rebbe Melech Gabriel Dress, but Mike Dress, which I believe is required reading for every bacher in Klal Yisrael, not just in the Sheshiva, in Klal Yisrael, what it means a human being to give up of his whole mahus for Klal Yisrael. There's a book about Rav Moshe Scherer. There's about Rav Shlomo Fagel Mandelovich. There's the book about Chaim Gelb, and there's the Recha Sternbruch, and etc. etc. There's a whole genre of people who care enough about Klal Yisrael to do something. And it's, I think, one of the if you read the biography about Rav Moshe Scherer, one of the things which he very much wanted to instill in Klal Yisrael was that message that, you know, people have to care, people have to get involved, and you know, it's not done by the professionals and by the people which are hired, and you know, it's Klal Yisrael needs involved balabati, volunteer balabati. When do you get that message? When do you supposed to get that message? After you leave yeshiva, the transition from yeshiva to outside of yeshiva is a very challenging transition. That point, a person trying to balance all of a sudden going into many times going into a workforce, you know, even becoming a Rebbe is challenging, but going out into the workforce, there's many things out there which are very challenging. The hours are quite different. The difficulty the person has to deal with are different. The feelings of Sipuk are different. You know, I'm not sitting and learning anymore. I'm not like the Rosh Kabura anymore. So I'm the guy, the youngest guy. I'm the guy in the staff who's older than most of the people there, but knows less than any of them how to run a business or anything like that because I never dealt with it. So there's a lot of emotions a person grapples with at that point in time. So tell him that he's trying to find some time to learn and get involved in the Tzibra. It's a very challenging thing. So what does the person have to hear? A person has to hear it when he's younger. That's so. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, they bring in the Hakdama to Nefesh HaChaim, or into the preface, whatever the introduction. So Reb Itzel Volozhiner, his son, who published the Nefesh HaChaim for his father, writes that I heard from my father Kamapomim. That the Iker Bria Sa'adim is the Hayalach Karina. The Russian created people to help other people. Russian created us to be able to go and give to others. And if you don't do that, what are you here for? Now, you have to remember this. You know, this wasn't said by Chassidus Rebbe X, who was a big Baal Chesed, it was said by Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Gaon. The primary Talmud of the Gaon, who's the Vilna Gaon, you know, most of the stories of people of the Vilna Gaon are not about chesed; they're about learning. That the whole Metzius of the Gaon was called Kulo was Torah, and his Talmud tells his son that the each reason why the person put in his will is to help other people. That's a powerful message. You have to balance it with Gemara. The Gemara talks about that Mordechai got involved in helping Klal Yisrael. We know Mordechai Tzadik. Without Mordechai Tzadik, we would probably be in a difficult situation at this point in time. Bereshis Cheshbonos, I don't know, but the Gemara says that mix. It says Rotzei L'Roi V'Echol. You have to picture this. You know, if you want to find the makor for the emes of Torah, it's that pasuk. You have to write that really. You know, Rotzi the Roiv Echo. Because I'll say, but mixes Echo over Parashim and someone's in Edmund and said, you know, the guy's too involved in Shtadlanas by the government already. Now, what do you mean? The Pshad is, you know, he took off his kapota, he put on a fancy hat, you know, like, Mordechai was Mordechai Tzadik. You know, he was still busy learning Torah, keeping mitzvahs. So the Taz says, because, you know, that's he had no choice. Somebody had to do it, but it's a begagel and choyv al yerechayiv that he was never the one stuck with that. He had to leave the walls of Beis Medrash. So how do you balance that? Kol mazakas harabim in chet bol ayodoy. Kol mazakas harabim. So it means dafka learning. Kol mazakas harabim. Kol matis harabim. Emesis and ladilas shuvah. I mean, so what does it mean? I mean, We know that a person whose person is Matz Nefesh Achim Zizok, he saved the Olam Moleh. Mordechai Tzadik, I think, and it's not a, you know, we can, he saved Klal Yisrael from Avodah. So not just that, you know, that generation, but all the generations to come. So when I right now and sit and learn a Tosis, Mordechai Tzadik gets Schar and Shemayim because I'm learning a Tosis. Because without Mordechai Tzadik, I wouldn't be here. Story goes, a person came, he was involved, he built the yeshiva in England, and it was taking a tremendous amount of effort to maintain the finances of the yeshiva. And, you know, it took away from his own personal growth. So he decided to go to Radin to discuss it with the Chabad Chaim. There's two versions to the story. One version of the story is he walked in, the Chabad Chaim says, "Ach tov chesed yirufuni kol yemei chayai." Says a person should be zeicher. Every person has redifas in their life. They have difficulties in their life, things which run after them and challenge them. You should be zeicher. The tov chesed yirufuni kol yemei chayai. Before he said his question, he got his answer and he walked out the door. Right? That's one version of the story. Other version of the story, he said to him, you know, this is, everybody knows that if you want a really, really, really good pair of shoes, you go to the shoemaker. Shoemaker makes a phenomenal pair of shoes. The shoes they make in the factory do not compare to the shoes that the shoemaker makes. He's an expert. He measures your foot. He takes his time. He's quality work. He's proud of his work. It comes out a beautiful pair of shoes. It lasts. Mamashek, it lasts for years and years and years. The factory shoes aren't exactly like that. So, of course, we would all assume the mistama that the shoemaker makes a lot more money than the factory owner. If he's making such better quality shoes, so mistama, he makes more money. But for some reason, that's not like that. Why is that? He says, because value makes a big difference. That's what he told him. That being said, there's a gevaldik that the Panovich Rav is the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. And he wants to ask the Chofetz Chaim this question. He said, he one time said one thing, he was very close to the Chofetz Chaim when he was there, but years later, he went back to Chofetz Chaim to visit, to discuss certain issues. Chofetz Chaim gave him, they had either a 12 or 14 hour marathon conversation. You know? And he said basically that he got from that conversation everything he needed to know to deal with any situation he ever dealt with the rest of his life was based on that conversation. And Teichot Worm, he asked the Chofetz Chaim, he says, you know, how do you deal with this balance of it? A person has to work on either his own personal growth or taking care of the tzibur. So now this question is not, you know, this is not the only person who asked the question. Rav Volbel talks about it in Al Ishur. There's a Shir Das about it. And both of them go with a different approach than what the Chofetz Chaim answered. They go with the approach of that the question is predicated on a mistake. Because right, what's the mistake? There's the ani, and then there's acherim. And I have this conflict between hishtalmus of the ani or acherim. So I have a conflict. Which one is more important? He says the correct answer to the question is that a person who truly understands his connection with acherim understands they're part of his ani. So then there's no steer anymore. It's all ani. So that's how they answer the question. Apply to the Maisa, if you understand what he was saying, you understand how it answered the question. But the Chofetz Chaim told, with his godless, the Chofetz Chaim told Panovich Rav a different answer. And he said, whatever's marbre more kvod shemayim in the world, that's what you do. Right? The question is, if you think about it, there is some element of the question which we should be uncomfortable with. Right? Is it about me? I have this question. I would like to grow. I would like to gain. And there's this very important word over there called ani, I, big capital I. And then there's acherim. The Chofetz Chaim answered, it's not about you. It's about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whatever more quote Shemayim. Say one of the Chassidus was once asked, if he would give an opportunity to switch places with Avraham Avinu, so he could be Avraham and Avraham would be him, would he take the switch? So he answered, would there be more Kibbutz Shemayim in the world because of it? No. So then what I gain? I don't know about you. I mean, I'm not sure if you're ready to step into the shoes of Avraham Avinu. But, you know, can you imagine the schus to being Avraham Avinu? That wasn't an answer. There was a yeshiva here in America called the New Haven Yeshiva. Who heard of the New Haven Yeshiva? Okay, good. New Haven Yeshiva was started by a person named Rav Levenberg. Who heard of Rav Levenberg? Okay, good. Next, it was together with him was his shutta was a person named Rav Sheftel Kramer. Who heard of Rav Sheftel Kramer? Good. Who heard of Rav Ruderman? Okay, his father-in-law was Rav Sheftel Kramer. Rav Sheftel Kramer was the brother-in-law of Richard Zalman Meltzer and Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Talmud Chacham Muflig. And he wanted to open a yeshiva. He was here in America, wanted to open a yeshiva. And the Rav of the city of New Haven, Rav Levenberg, who was a Talmud, I think, of Volozhin, invited him to come to New Haven and open up a yeshiva gedolah in New Haven. At that point in time, besides Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, that was the only yeshiva gedolah in America. It lasted for 3 years, where the members of the city were anti the yeshiva. It eventually left New Haven and moved to Cleveland, where it continued for a short period of time. And then, in 1933, Rav Ruderman went to Baltimore. He saw it was the situation was getting very bad. He went to Baltimore and started an ASO. That's when ASO started. I had a Rebbe who learned by the New Haven Yeshiva when it was in Cleveland. Rebbe Zinitsky, Olav HaShalom. But before that, it was in... So he, one time, described some of the stories that he wasn't there. I don't know whether he was there in New Haven or not, or heard the stories about the level of hisnagdus that the people in the city had to the yeshiva. The level of hisnagdus to the yeshiva was one day the Rebbe gets a package and she opens it up and there's live mice in the package. And she had a fear of mice and this whole package of mice comes running all over her house and she's screaming. That was sent to them by one of the members of the community in thanks for their beautiful efforts of opening the yeshiva in the community. That's how much they appreciated the yeshiva. He used to have to go begging food from the Jewish farmers, begging tomatoes from the Jewish farmers. They brought him some what to eat. He was there shortly thereafter. Obviously, we can imagine that something hastened his anguish, hastened his death. And one of his Talmidim was there with him and he was close to him, he was being niftar. He says, you know what Mesiras Nefesh is? He says, a person gives up Arlam Hazeh to Fratara, Mesiras Nefesh. He says, no, that's Mesiras Aguf. What's Mesiras Nefesh? And he was a Talmud in Slobodka. He says, I could have stayed in Slobodka and finished Shas many, many times over. And I came to America and I tried to make a yeshiva and I went and begged the farmers for food. That's Mesiras Nefesh. I gave up my nefesh, not my goof. Because he understood that he has a responsibility to build something. I don't know, you know, maybe I was still zoichet to get the tail end of it, you know. Like I mentioned to you before that, you know, I grew up in a different generation where the musig of being a ben Torah was still like a badge of pride, and you felt like your responsibility. You were part of your mamash. You were part of like something which was unique and uncommon. Nowadays, it's harder to feel that, but everybody has the power to get involved and to make a difference. Everybody has the power to push it to help Klal Yisrael. And either of all was answered because you understand that that's part of your ani. So I don't have confidence in what's myself and somebody else because it's all me. Or I understand that the goal is not me or somebody else. The goal is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I need to do what has to be done. That being said, There's a maisa once, Rabbi Avidur Miller Zatzal, on his Thursday night shiurim. So there's two parts of the shiur that he would say his, you know, machshava that he wanted to say, and then there was questions that were taken, you know, from the floor by either by written notes on the women's side. Men would ask actual questions, and he would answer on the spot. So the tapes, you know, sometimes they cut off before the end of the tape, or cut off before the end of the question and answer period, because it would continue on beyond the tape. And so you would, sometimes you would end up in the middle of a sentence, you know, like, what's the end of the answer? But so one time he gave her whatever the topic was, and the questions originally would be, like after shiur, there would be questions on the topic of the shiur, then questions on any topic. So question on any topic, the person opened up, he says, you know, he spoke about at some point in time about the importance of helping Klal Yisrael and taking care of Klal Yisrael and doing for Klal Yisrael. Says, so why don't we close all the yeshivas and send the bachurim out? There's so many people out there which need help, you know, they're falling off the derech, and you know, the people don't know, and people are assimilating. We have to take the yeshiva bachurim out there, and they should go out and push it, you know, bring back all of the yidden. So why don't we just close down all the yeshivas, send them out over there. So he gave the following answer, you know, Mamash, like, without, like, there's no time lapse between the question and the answer. So the person is walking along near a river and he sees somebody drowning. So there's no question that a person should jump in and save the person who's drowning. You have to save a person's life. But there's one time that you should not jump in to save the person's life. If you don't know how to swim, don't jump in to save his life, because you know what we're going to have. We have two people we have to save. He says, yes, of course you have to go out and save. But you have to know how to swim first. We can't close the yeshiva because the guys don't know how to swim yet. That was his answer. Chazanish said basically the same answer. Chazanish said that, you know, the person has to understand, of course you have to do for Klal Yisrael. But you can't do for Klal Yisrael if you don't know what we're talking about. It's no glick for Klal Yisrael. You say, well, we'll make them all, you know. They don't know what they're doing yet. But at the same time, that means whenever you're learning, whenever you're accomplishing, you're preparing yourself for to be a part of a person who can go out there and do help Klal Yisrael. So every part of what you're doing is not just for myself. It's in order to be a hechatimsa, be able to at some point to be there for Klal Yisrael. Chazanish himself was the perfect example, because he sat and learned by himself for years and years and years. Nobody even knew about him. He put out Svarim anonymously. Didn't take any, it wasn't a rav, didn't do anything. At the end of the day, because he did that, he became the Chazanish. He was able to be a person that the whole world stood on his shoulders. Imagine he hadn't done that. He wouldn't have been the Chazanish. One of the Gedolim one time said, he says, you know, America eats its Gedolim. That was the lesson that he said. Eretz Ochel Sheshveh, like that's his parasha. So what do you mean? He says, you know, Eretz Yisrael, it's in Europe, you know, says there is enough gedolim to go around, to say it right, so, you know, I don't mean in a cheap way, but that the younger ones could be busy sitting and learning basmat rabba without the responsibility of taking care of the klal. So when they were needed to take care of the klal, they were taka the gedolim that they needed to be. You know, when I was growing up, Rav Steinman Shlita, we didn't know his name. Who needed to know his name? He was the Yalos HaShachar. He was Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak. He was Hamas Met Otsum. And that's all he did. That's all he did. I'm sure he helped the Baruch here and there, but Klapi the Tzibur, the greater Tzibur, Rav Shach was alive, and the Stipler was alive, and he wasn't needed. And what did he do? He sat and learned. We didn't know his name. We didn't know his name. He used to write the name in front of the Sefer. Yalos Shachar's answer was Aleph Yud Lamed. He didn't write the name. He didn't say his name. Aaron Leib. Aleph Yud Lamed. That was all he wrote in front of the Sefer. So the Chazanish, that was it. How do I know his name? Because I had a chaver in yeshiva. It was a nephew. He said, by the way, that's my uncle. And his name is this and this and this. I said, okay. Like, now what? You know, the piece of information didn't mean anything to me. And one day, when the other Gedolim were, all of a sudden he's there to take care of Klal Yisrael with the godless that he has. He says, but America, there's such a dearth. He says, so they force him into the responsibilities of the cloud too early. That was his comment. So yes, the goal isn't the point that a person shouldn't be working Hishamas Nazi. A person is saying, but you're working Hishamas Nazi because with the tremendous awareness of that you one day are going to be responsible for a family, for a community, for other people, and you have to be the person, the best person you can be to be able to do that. The person says, you know, all I care about is an Eva Afsioid. I mean, that's not Torah. That's not a definition of Klal Yisrael. I would like to point out that we have a Klal, we paskin like Rav. And he's Rotsi the Rav Echov. The Maisi is Rotsi the Rav Echov. Mixes the Sanhedrin Pirsh Haimanu. Rav Sanhedrin wasn't Pirsh Haimanu. Good, so we need to know there's another sheet. Good, so the more the Mishnah says in 8 years, that one day somebody comes along and says, I have a sheet. They said, yeah, we know that sheet. That's the sheet of the Yachid. We don't pass it like that. That's why we mentioned the Yachid in the Mishnah, the Kenegah, the Chacham. Why was it in the Geyer? It's a Mishnah 8 years. The case somebody should come along and say, I have a sheet. They said, yeah, we know that sheet. That's the sheet of the Yachid. Don't worry about it. The Rav says not like that. So here's your Mishnah's Echav Imenu. I don't know. It's a kiddush that I thought of. I don't know whether it's correct or not, but it's an interesting thought. Milon Ogolov from Reb Aaron. Reb Aaron was, he was a little boy. He's a little boy learning him in Slobodka. Reb Aaron, I don't understand it. You know, Reb Aaron ran the Gula, but not just he ran the Gula. He was involved every single day. He ran Chinuch Hatzmoy. He was involved in Torah Mesorah. He was busy, dealing with every individual people all the time, and he was still Reb Aaron. Okay, if he would have started early, what would be? I don't know. But the point is, he lived Klal Yisrael. He didn't live Klal Yisrael because, it's a key to take care of Klal Yisrael. Okay. I really would prefer to sit and learn. Right? There's some people, tackle like that, when it comes to their own needs, they say, I really prefer to sit and learn. But Lamaisa, what can I do? I have to eat and sleep and stuff like that also. But most of us, when we eat and sleep, where does that? Because that's me. I have needs. I'm happy to take care of my needs. That's you too. I have to take care of your needs because we're the one. And the place where you saw it is when people would ba'avel him. People would hurt him and people would insult him and he would help them, turn around and help them the next day. How'd you do that? Because there was no one need. So what's the other time a person says, what can I accomplish anyway? That's for people like Rabbi Aaron Gottler, Rabbi Richard Rav, and I say, Mamash, these people, they make a tremendous difference, etc. There's two memoriam which it says Mishul Nivra Olam, and it says Ofra Tov El Ofra Teshuv. The Chassidish Rebbe one that says so it's the theorist. He says you have to have two pieces of paper in your pocket. One says we should like the whole world's credit for you and your mom is the most important person. I was like, what's this do? I said, so what are you? Your Rima Vasileya, your Tipa Sarucha, right? You have to know when to take out the right piece of paper. So when the guy says, what's haste? Me, Bishuvin of Roilam. I need the help? What's binich? Garnished. That's Mastama Stira, how you're supposed to use it. The right time to pull out the paper of Bishmilin of Roilam is the person says, I can help. I can make a difference. I can help. And when you pull out the paper, what are you? And somebody says, I'm not nobody anyway, so who cares? So you have to make sure you use the right piece of paper at the right time. Right? So you don't have. So I remember I was saying, I was saying my Shirin tells. So I don't know whether it was regular with other Rebbe or not. Remendel's Hatzal, Remendel Kaplan. There's a book we have for Remendel. Remendel, his life and his wisdom, something like that. One of his Talmidim. I can tell you. You have to read it. Just us, the Yesodus and the Pichus and the Geschmack of the Mises over there, and his lines that he would say. And he used to learn Musar with a Shir. Usually he would learn from the Alter from Keller. He would take the Chacham Musar and learn with the Alter from Keller. I can't read what he's talking about. He would learn from the Alter from Keller. Rabbi Yochanan one time said he wanted to plan. He wrote his Das Chacham Moser, Bitaris, it should be a beer in the Chacham Moser. So his plan was he's going to write, like, you know, put Rizal East in the middle, and he's going to write his Sefer around like a beer around it, like a beerish. Mice, it never happened like that. So he used to have something called Moser commercials. He says, you know, America, everything comes with a commercial. You can't get a whole show at one time. You have to have a commercial in the middle. So in the middle of the year, also we came with a Musa commercial. You know, I get them shared a whole shared all the time. We came with a Musa commercial once in a while. So when I was a Rebbe in Tel Aviv, I used to have Musa commercials. Sometimes I feel like nowadays it's just one straight, you know, Musa schmooze. Anyway, but I used to have Musa commercials, as I said, and I would introduce them. But now for a word from our sponsor. And that was, you know, now for a word from our sponsor. And that we would say what the word from the sponsor is, you know, do tshuva or something like that. I don't know, the guys must have thought I was the strangest person in the world. Like, it wasn't standard tells the Shiva. So one time we got this conversation. I said, Rebbe, what can I do anyway? What do you want from me? What am I going to do? I'm going to be a battle bus. What am I going to write from me? He said. So I said, first of all, I want you to understand something. He says, in gradations, I said there's five levels of balabatim. So the first battle bus, the person, he doesn't learn at all. That's not an option. It's just not in the game. Forget it. The second malabos is the malabos. It's for state, you know, it's haste. Person has to learn. So he goes to a shir every night and he falls asleep. He's tired, a long day. So he understands the importance of learning. But now he's not able to learn. Okay. But he understands. Okay. That's something. Then there's the madrega of a person who goes to the shir and he listens. He stays awake. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Then there's the regular person who goes to this. That's number three, right? Then the fourth one is a person who goes to the shir. He's mamash involved in the shir. He asks questions, etc. Then there's a person who gives the shir. Why can't you be the one who gives the shir? That's what I want from you. Says, oh, I can't give a shir. So you look around your shul and you see there's a chabur which would benefit from having a shir in Mishnayos. So get two people together and make a shir in Mishnayos. And you prepare every week and you learn through Mishnayos well. And you give over a shir in Mishnayos. What's your shlecht? You're familiar with a certain sefer, you know, which somebody else doesn't, it might benefit. What you say? You put up a notice. I would like to give, you know, any interest in making a chabur shaft in sefer X. So you learn through Ramchal and Derech Hashem. So learn with somebody. And then the musik of taking what you have and giving to somebody else, because someone else can benefit from it, doesn't have to be in a major, you know, and we're always waiting for, of course, the success stories, and he started with one person, and eventually there's 47 million people there, and it was like, well, it changed God's class, like people made it change their life. You don't need that. Like, you know, I don't need the big story, the final story at the end. The nafkir was that the rest of your life, you gave a mishnayship to people. That's godless. Because you thought about giving to somebody else. The difference between a gadol and a katan is in that one prat. A katan thinks about himself. The definition of godless is he thinks about somebody else. In Klaisa, we expect a child by the age of 13 to be able to do that. To be able to be focused on being somebody who can be giving to somebody else. So we pointed out that, you know, nowadays, you know, everything is slower than it used to be. You know, maturity comes a little bit later. So it's not at the age of 13, you know, but at the age of 18, 19, 20, 21, 30, 35, 40, at some point in time, you know, you eventually mature to the point where, you know, you talk and think about other people. You know, it has to start somewhere. Where the person is aware that, you know, I can make a difference. And again, it's not at the expense of your growth, because we need you to grow. Because we need you to be the good husband that you're supposed to be, and the father that you're supposed to be, and the community you're supposed to be. Well, I haven't developed what I'm supposed to develop. That's also important. But at the same time, you know, it's with the awareness of if you have an opportunity now or later, you have to be able to give. And that's something that you're learning. I've been zoicha to sit on the board of a local school for X amount of years, and there's meetings which, you know, I've been able to contribute and help. There's meetings which I've been frustrated out of my mind, and that's part of the job. And Baruch Hashem, there's other people in the community who are, you know, and some people can't. They have valid reasons why they can't join. There's a Chevra Kadisha, which Rabbi Rosenbaum has been talking about recently, that the Chevra Kadisha needs people to help. It's a very, that's a chesed, which, you know, we're not going to say, wow, it changed the community, because, but it did. It changes you. It changes you. It changes Klal Yisrael. Because you're Klal Yisrael. If you become a more sensitive person and more aware of something, so that may changes you. It'll change how you're a husband. It changes how you're a father. It changes how you interact with the person next to you. It changes Klal Yisrael. It changes how you daven. If you walk in the morning, daven the next morning, you say, you know, a little bit more sensitive to the schus of the kind of Shem Shem Asatabi. You change the tzibur. We live in a very big boat. And if we drill a hole underneath our seat in the boat, there's a problem. Well, Faisal is one unit. And when one person in some way becomes better, it really changes the whole tzibur. So again, it's been a show which has been sitting on my head. Parshas Korach, excuse me, Parshas Korach. What is true leadership in Klai Yisrael? What is true commitment in Klai Yisrael? The Moshe Rabbeinu and the Aaron Akkad on one side. And the people who were focused on themselves on the other side. And I can't say that, you know, we if we want to be honest, that we probably relate more to Korach than we relate to Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we do have Shlod Ishma. We spoke of Shlod Ishma is not the worst thing in the world. As a matter of fact, it's very important because it helps us get over the hump of the Yetzirah that we have. And we can't, if we think we're Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a major problem. If we think we're L'Shem Shemayim, we have even a worse problem. We're fooling ourselves. But that being said, it's a good thing. Okay, I'll end with just one thought. There's a story. You remember there's a magazine called Light Magazine. It's been defunct for many, many years. It was actually published by Rabbi Lyman's uncle, Rabbi Shua Lyman, Moshiach Lyman. And before this plethora of many different magazines which came out, there was a magazine, it was English articles about Torah topics, etc. It was called Light Magazine. So there's a story over there in Light Magazine the woman sent in about how she made a stuck a tea in her house, you know, and to be honest, you know, the excitement of the stuck a tea was she gets to show off her new dress and her new set of dishes and her new house and her new kitchen and many other things that she's having her stuck a tea in her house, etc. Well, while the stuck was going, the tea was going on, she had hypoglycemia, which she's taking medication for that, and her 3-year-old got into the bottle and consumed, they couldn't figure out exactly how many, they think it was 27 of them. She comes up, she sees he's lethargic, she realizes something wrong, it's the Borough Park, they try to get to the hospital, there's a traffic jam on 13th Avenue, she's running down the street carrying her baby, you know, screaming somebody should help her, a guy gets into, you know, comes by, takes into the car, he drives like a meshuggah, you know, like, you know, the only Shibachim could do, gets into the hospital, the doctor, you know, wants to know what it is, she says what it is, and says the last person who came here with this problem was a person who was a full-grown, 6-foot adult, who took 9 of them and did not make it, because that's the amount of poison is in the body. This is a little baby, 3-year-old baby who had 27 of them. Basically, the chances of survival are zero. So while this is all going on, she's thinking about, you know, this horrible guilt that she has, because she did the stalker thing, not the shame shemaim, because of her new dress. That's why it happened. And Rosh was giving her punishment, and she has this whole long. And so the name of the article is called "The Benefits and the Doubt." You know, doubt of the benefit. The name of the article was "The Benefits" for the tea and the doubt that she had. This is the name of the article. So finally she says, she was like extremely conflicted. This is all going on in her state. So, you know, her child is holding on to the hospital by a hair and trying to figure out what's supposed to happen to the child, you know, what's going to be. And she calls up Rabbi Victor Miller Zatzal to discuss her emotions with him. And he gives her a bracha, obviously, that everything should go well. Then he says to her that when you come to Shemayim, the main thing is you come with the goods. You accomplished for Klal Yisrael. You did a stucker tea and people gave stucker because of it. The kavanah is, it's better you should do it for the wrong kavanah than not do it at all. Let's get it straight. She gets a call from the hospital, you know, a little while later, she runs down to the hospital. Her baby sits up, opens up his eyes, and like says, "Mommy." And every single doctor in the whole hospital came to see the niece. But that's not the point of the story. I mean, it's happy, there was a niece of an ending. The point of the story is, if the only way we can get ourselves to be involved properly, we'll do that too. But that's the Shem Shemayim. Because we understand we have a Yetzirah. And we need to do these things, and we want to do these things. We understand that we have a challenge. So we enlist the help of the Shlomo Shema. That's the Rambam. The Rambam says, the Mora says, so you take the guy and say, Rambam says, he really wants, of course he wants. He's a Yid, he wants to do the right thing. He wants to do the wrong thing, he's a Yid. Elamot, he has Yetzirah, so we help him with the Yetzirah, so we beat him up, so take care of the Yetzirah, and man, the true Ratzon comes out. That's the Shlomo Shema. The true Ratzon comes out. The Shemot takes care of the Yetzirah, and the true Ratzon comes out. We want to be people who can care about other people and can help and to do and to accomplish and to make a difference. That Klal Yisrael should be a better place. The world should be a better place. That to help another Yid. We want that. Elamai, what? You know, we have Atzus, and we have he's insulting me. Whatever the issue is. Okay, so that's what the Shalom Shemot is for. But the bottom line, the eager thing is that we can't make that difference. We come to Shemayim with the goods.